are going to hear from Abby and Allie, who are with Edward Jones. And I love your title. I love Change an Axiom to Grind. And they're going to tell you all about how they have led their employees through this change, a little bit in phases, and also all of the feedback that they've gotten along the way. So I will let you take it from there. And yeah, let's go.
Thank you so much. My name is Abby Davis, and I have been with Edward Jones for 15 years of my 21-year career in employee communications. I am joined by Allie Tupfer. Can you give a quick introduction?
Yeah, so I've been with Edward Jones for about 3 years. I came in right at the start of this project with all the fun. So we oversee our internal communication channels at Edward Jones.
I lead the team responsible for internal channels and experience. I've been responsible for channels since 2018. And since 2018, I've been just advocating for change. So we have used really homegrown systems up until last summer when we rolled out the platform. So one of the first things that we did was identify the need for change. So this slide kind of captures what our past state was and what we were driving towards. I'm sure many of you can relate, you know, running a homegrown system, working with your internal technology group. We had some struggles with our platform. As I was listening to the speaker this morning, reflecting on what my personal soundtrack was probably like for that 2018 to 2022 timeframe, I think I would equate it to Chasing Waterfalls, TLC. It kind of was a 90s song that kind of depicted our 90s way of working. I felt like we were kind of always told, don't chase those waterfalls, stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. although the river was polluted and the lake was drying up, falling apart, you know. So we had a long ways to go. Luckily, Brandon came to the rescue. I think I started talking to you maybe in 2018.
Yep.
And so we started to kind of forge ahead with a plan for change. As you can imagine, Edward Jones, I don't know if all of you are familiar with Edward Jones, but we're a financial services firm based in St. Louis, Missouri. We've got over 15,000 financial advisors in both US and Canada. We've been in business 100 years, actually our centennial year this year. So obviously a long-standing company rooted in our history, but at the same time, sort of kind of maybe not the most innovative in, you know, companies, although we are on a quest for transformation, I think like a lot of companies are right now, everyone's talking transformation. At least in St. Louis, I've noticed it. Like, everyone's got a sign that they're transforming. We're definitely embarking on that digital transformation, and we were excited to be part of it. And we actually can say we're one of the first things probably transforming. Much like John said this morning, like every company, the value of communicators just exploded during the pandemic. And that's really what I think the impetus for our change was, is everyone realized, oh my gosh, maybe this like old-timey email that you're sending out isn't the best way to engage people. So as you can see, we have really been focused on moving from like the limited metrics and like all the things that First Step provides, just engaging people in a different way and actually having some data to better understand what our readers like and what we can provide to them that will engage them differently.
Yeah, so we, as Abby said, had to build our business case for change, and we identified kind of 5 key things we're hoping you can take away from this session to help you as you're thinking through your business case. So first one, we really had to articulate the need for change. So, you know, obviously, as Abby said, in the pandemic, communications became extremely important, but we had to really articulate the need for why we needed this technology. You know, our emails are working, what are you talking about? Just push them out twice a week, people are clicking the links, but we had no metrics, we had no feedback in a formal way. We really couldn't tell what people were engaging with, so we really had to lay out our business case in, you know, who's being impacted. So we have different groups. We have 15,000 financial advisors with about 48,000 associates across the country and Canada. what problems are we solving? So we really needed to help our associates embrace this new platform. It's very different from the way we used to communicate. You know, we heard a lot of this looks like social media. Looks like a bad thing, but and then where are we finding our support? We really had to build out the support we needed to push this through our change approval process and get the funding and get the buy-in from our firm leaders and different advocacy groups. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. And then how will we do this and demonstrate our results? So really, what are our KPIs? How are we showing that this investment is worth it and showing the results of everything we've been doing? So the first thing that we really honed in on is creating the right materials for the right audience. Seems maybe straightforward, but we really had to listen to different questions we were getting from the different group because it looks very different from how are we positioning this to our very, very senior leaders, and then how are we positioning to our technology partners, our legal partners, compliance. Each of them had different questions and had different things that they were really interested in, so we had to really tailor our communications to them, and we found that having a one-pager or handout or something we can leave behind that they could pass along that was very clear was very helpful. This was brand new to us. They're like, well, why do we need this? So very clearly saying, you know, how it worked, what we're trying to do, and our timeline in one place was very helpful to be able to kind of leave it with them.
You can click back just to that five-step slide.
Yes.
One more. Thank you. I just wanted to add on this, like, it was really helpful in even preparing this presentation when Allie and I were looking through this. Like, this is our process for, like, implementing different aspects of the platform. So, like, we followed these steps when we introduced the platform last summer, but even as we're introducing new functionality, so we are maybe a little slower in doing it in phases than some of you, but it's working for us at our firm. Right now, like, we're really pushing for comments on more articles, those types of things. We're still kind of following the same process with our stakeholders. We're, you know, sometimes we might get objections from, say, legal on, you know, do we really want to open this one up for comments? We still follow the same process of, like, let's create some materials that help get everyone comfortable with what we're doing. Let's, you know, build this coalition of support. So, like, if you're not getting support from one of your stakeholders, you know, who else can we rely on? Someone who might be a little more innovative in their thinking. So just wanted to add, like, this is kind of a way that we're approaching it for new functionality that we're introducing in the platform too. So going back to our coalition of support, we have really advocated for having a key set of stakeholders who can help us kind of gather that support. So we've got like our CIO, for example, in his weekly emails when we launched Amplify, which is what we called our platform, he was also advocating for it and sharing our story. We've got groups like a regional technology advisor group that's like focused in different parts of the country. We've got them on board advocating and kind of sharing a story, getting people to get comfortable with posting comments. So we kind of just kind of have people rally around the platform as part of our coalition of support.
I would also add our own communicators within our enterprise and change function. Our own communicators, we really had to educate them and empower them to be able to talk about it because they're liaising with a lot more stakeholders day to day, and being able to feel comfortable and smart about it was really important, so that it didn't have to be just us advocating for it. Okay. And then, you know, this should probably look really familiar to everybody as a change in communicator type, you know, professional, but having a really clear and detailed plan. So we really relied on the, you know, know, feel, do. What are we, you know, trying to get people to know, feel, and do with this rollout? Identifying our strategies and our specific tactics and really digging into the timing for execution was really important. This was also important that we could hand it out to people when they said, well, how are we communicating about it? You know, when are we asking for feedback? When are we getting buy-in? Feedback is a very big thing at our firm, and we did that along the way. So we did a phased rollout where we did a smaller group of our friendlies first, so our technology area went first, then our home office, and then phases for the rest of our associates in the field, and along the way asked for that feedback proactively to make adjustments. actually sped up as we went because we were getting less and less feedback, and it just works that way. But it also helps some of our stakeholders feel more comfortable that we had this really thoughtful plan that we could point to, so they knew we were on top of it. And then lastly, showing results. So in our previous state, we didn't really have KPIs. We had KPIs, but we didn't really have data to back it up. We were really pushing to an intranet page, so all we had was views that we couldn't segment, we couldn't tell. They were unique views. We had very limited metrics, so one of the biggest benefits of First Step was having those detailed metrics. So setting KPIs that were new for the organization, too, we really had to educate our stakeholders on what does engagement rate mean, what does, how impactful is a click versus a like versus a comment. So we've had to go on a roadshow internally to really educate and kind of reframe how we talk about our communications. We came from an environment where people were saying, well, nobody reads that. Nobody's reading that stuff. Or now we can show, well, yes, they are, or they're seeing it, but maybe not clicking on it. So why is that? We can see that all 48,000 associates saw it, but maybe only 2,000 people clicked on it. Why? So it really allowed us to dig in and hold people accountable, especially as we're onboarding new contributors. When we have specific channels to targeted audiences, we also set KPIs for that as well. So we do a lot of targeted communication to our branch teams.
All right, so hindsight is 2020, and I will add that we are still learning a lot because we're only just a little over a year into the platform. But one thing that I would definitely highlight is determine your support ahead of time to reduce confusion. So just making sure that all your stakeholders are on board and know exactly what they are to do to support you. And I would say technology is one that I would mention, just making sure we're all in line on what they do and what we do. Also, it's definitely good to leverage those First Step resources, and I'm sure many of you are already doing this today, but just networking across this group is really powerful. We've been really fortunate to connect with different companies who are kind of similar to us. I know, I think it was Brandon who also put us in touch with Lincoln Financial, who is also here. We talked with them initially about some of the same struggles that they have in working in a highly regulated industry.
I think it's Italian, yeah, okay.
So I think that's really important to talk to others who are facing those same challenges as you, and be sure to leverage their materials. Like, you don't always have to reinvent the wheel. And then establishing an advisory board early to make sure that stakeholders are heard. And as Ali mentioned, this was actually something that we probably didn't do as well as we could have, but even engaging our own set of communications people. So we have a very large communications group too. And so we established our Amplify advisory board, but we didn't, and they were part of it, but we didn't do it right away. And it has gone a long way for them to feel on board and part of the process. So I highly recommend that. And then lastly, there definitely will be things that happen that are out of your control. It's just important to remember to not get discouraged. We often say to each other, we will get there. That's our motto, I think, on a
t-shirt.
I think we've almost gotten there, maybe, once we're there. But there definitely will be times when we feel discouraged, and don't give up. Keep fighting the good fight. You're doing good work and engaging the folks in your company. So we'd like to take your questions.
Yeah, so I think we were really intentional with our phase rollout. Our first phase was really focused on adoption, so we did kind of a like-for-like transfer from our old channel to our new channel. So we really had kind of our firm-wide news for everybody, branch-specific news, home office-specific news, and then a couple of tailored channels. But we really have only just now started adding other channels in. So for example, we're starting with leader channels first to really engage like our regional leaders, area leaders, technology leaders, to have them help get used to the platform and help us drive adoption. Then our next phase is really going to be the more local channels and regional channels because we have, we can pull 300 regions, so we have to kind of phase that out. So we also want to really start doing more opt-in channels because we are really coming from an environment of, we're just gonna push everything at everybody. So we really had to help educate our stakeholders too that it's not a bad thing to have an opt-in channel. People will still go find the news if they're interested in it. So that's something that we've done kind of very intentionally to help people get used to it too, because it was kind of scary for a lot of people at first. Our biggest complaint, I like to joke, is people are like, well, where's the print button? I can't print this. So we had to educate
people. Can you share more?
Yes.
Can you please share more about the advisory board? How do you drive and engage those type of people and keep that momentum going forward?
Yeah, so the advisory board is really made up of our communicators, so our capabilities, enterprise change, and communication. So we have representatives from each of our kind of different work streams that sit on this advisory board that help liaise out with those teams and bring questions to us. And it was really set up to when we were implementing the platform because there was functionality we want to implement or changes, even simple things we wanted to get their buy-in and feedback on, because we were like, we think this process change makes sense. What do you think? Like, and they would bring up things that maybe we hadn't considered before. So we would meet on a bi-weekly basis. It took a group of about, I think, 10 of us to talk through those things. And it was good for us, too, to be able to run questions by them and materials in advance and things that we were maybe going to disseminate more broadly so that they could tell us if they made sense, if they had questions, if we were missing things. So we really met pretty frequently, and then we rotate who's on that group right now every year, but could go a little bit more than that just to get everybody engaged and feel like they have a voice.
I'm curious, I'm really thankful you all are covering the change management part of this because it's such a huge, I find it's a huge part of what we're doing. Can you talk about who's leading the change part of it? Who's leading the actual execution of the app? Because, you know, all of those are like full-time jobs, so I don't know how it's resourced. Who's the primary salesperson, you know, of this app? Just would love to know more about the structure.
Yeah, I'll take that one. Our area recently merged. We're enterprise change and communications at Edward Jones, so change management is definitely part of sort of our guiding principles of our area. So when we launched this, though, a year ago, we were sort of in our infancy of that merge. So we have our team of channels and professionals is four people. We sort of did our own change management with guidance from some of our change management friends because they're all working throughout the business and engaged with many others. So it was sort of a DIY effort with some guidance from change management. But there were four of us on our core team. And then we would leverage that Amplify Advisory Committee as well. And we, again, that coalition of support, whether that's our CIO and the regional technology advisors, we kind of help them. We equip them to help them be our cheerleaders of sorts. So that kind of helped with our change management.
Kind of tag on to that, what I heard in your story was an incredible amount of empathy. So you have taken on this, you know, kind of culture changing communications platform, and you drive in and you realize, oh, resistance. And instead of kind of digging your heels in, you started creating and finding the way to communicate, bring them to your side. What kept your stamina going?
That's a good question. I mean, I think each other, like, we really did have a strong team environment. But it was also just knowing that we were doing the right thing. Like, we also have a very strong feedback mechanism at our firm where people can send in suggestions too. And, like, we were hearing both the naysayers and the positives, and we were just clinging to the positives of, like, there are a lot of people who are very accustomed to doing business the way they've been doing it for the last 20 years. So we tried not to get hung up on that and know that we were doing good work and eventually people would come around. I think someone even mentioned it in a presentation this morning about, like, if they haven't had the system for more than 6 weeks, like, you gotta give it time. So I would say that was just, I used to work in technology communications too for 10 years, so I sort of knew that that was what we had to do, was just like, we're gonna stick to our guns and it's gonna work out.
Right.
growth. And I will say we tracked all of that feedback in a spreadsheet. My baby. That had coded by sentiments and who gave it and when and like what phase of our rollout. And we did need to identify issues and really kind of determine, were they worth addressing? So like the print issue, normally would not have addressed that, but it had such a high volume of feedback, we did address it. We didn't add a print button, but we said, you can select all the prints. Like, we had to be very specific, but things like that where we could kind of throw a bone a little bit of something that seemed like a pain point, but probably really isn't a pain point. We, you know, and other things that were pain points. I think we got good feedback that made us realize things that maybe we didn't realize before from our branch perspective, so.
Right. Well done.
How big is your team that was involved in the rollout?
Yeah, I think the core team was like four or five.
Yeah, us two more.
And I mean, somewhat of our upper, you know, senior leadership too, but it was a core team of four. But again, like we tried to like establish that coalition of other people who could advocate for us.
And how big was that?
Our working project team, like we had representatives from each area of the firm, was probably like 40 to 50 people at one time. But those were people who were like, you know, representing our mobile app area and like our compliance area. And compliance and legal were our big two stakeholders that we really, and technology were our biggest ones where we needed buy-in. And we're still working with those folks these today. To get more buy-in because we want to do more and more, and they're like, no, no.
I would say too, like, we also just, because we had a small core team, like, we didn't bite off more than we could chew. Like, we're still rolling out a lot of things. Like, we're not all in on user-generated content by any means. And like, it's a kind of a missed opportunity, if I'm totally honest. And it is easy to get discouraged and be, hey, it's our centennial year. Why aren't we doing more with user-generated content to like have people celebrating in our offices? There's some things that we're just like, we're not gonna do that because we're not gonna work 60 hours a week. <You know? laughs> So just kind of do the things that are manageable, I think is kind of our mantra.
So kind of to follow up on that, you mentioned, you know, the help of IT and other support. How did you decide with your rollout, like what specifically you need? Because like for me, I'm kind of struggling communicating exactly what I need this team to do, what that team to do. So I'm just curious how maybe you came up with those things.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can add on to this, but we did try to document some of our roles and responsibilities to help them understand. I mean, we still kind of get some pushback at times of like, can you guys do this? And then, I mean, even this week, I think sometimes we have some that we just have to continually clarify. We are all in this together, so if there's things that we can do to work together and help out where we can, we try.
And I would say from a technology perspective, we're really making a shift right now in our transformation to, I feel like I'm using air quotes a lot. Our transformation to a lot of homegrown, like a lot of homegrown tools, to using more vendors. So this was new for them too. So we really brought them to the table early in our requirements mapping, and we have like a giant spreadsheet of this is every single thing that we think that we need our platform to do, and kind of said who owns it. And I feel like we have to have those level setting conversations with them semi-regularly about, we don't know what this means. We're not the technology people. We need you to help us figure it out. So we have a group that's dedicated to us to kind of help us, point us in the right direction at least. So some of it, we know enough to be dangerous in some cases, but really relying on them to at least point us in the right direction to figure it out.
Thank you.
You mentioned that you didn't have a lot of analytics before you started with First Stop. So how are you taking your metrics that you're now getting from the platform, and how is that changing your content strategy, if it is?
Oh, yeah. I can start, and then maybe Allie's our metrics guru, so she loves metrics. She's also a spreadsheet person, but I am not. But I would say it's new to us, and we are definitely using it to shape our content strategy. I mean, I'm really excited about two new things that we implemented, and we're watching them really closely with our metrics, and they're performing really well. So it's not just about the channels and like the methods we're using to get out there, it's more about the content, and that's you know, really what's driving our engagement. And we introduced two new things. One is called the Friday Rewind, and it's just a quick little video, which I think social, like, first I've mentioned that early on, like a lot of companies do this, and we just started doing it in the last few months. It's huge, like it's one of our, it's probably our highest volume, like engagement content. But it's just a quick video, like on Fridays, here's what you missed this week, in case you didn't read anything, like this is what you need to know. And so that one's performing really well, and then we are also doing a segment called Real Talk, which is the branches, our financial advisors having conversations with some of our most senior leaders of the firm, talking about things that are, you know, people are questioning with our transformation, or things that are generating a lot of buzz and maybe even some animosity, you know, like things that are they're struggling with. So we're like having a real talk between the branches and our home office, talking about the issues of the day. And like those things are performing so well. And in the past, like, we would never have known like that they're doing well. So like, it's just great to have that data and show like, we need to keep doing this, even though it's uncomfortable to have these real talks. It's making a difference and people are engaged.
Yeah, I think we've really had to set expectations again about what does good look like, because our engagement rates are really strong, but people are like, well, why isn't it 100%? You know, seriously. So our CIO is like, well, I want this to be 100%. We're like, well, okay. You know, it's really setting that expectation of what good looks like. And even in our, we had the adoption phase and now we're in our engagement phase. The adoption phase, we very quickly got to, we have about 95% adopted and 85% active on a monthly basis. Which is, I guess, very good.
But Nicole keeps telling us
it's not good enough, according to some of the leaders.
But looking at our individual content, we really had to look at, well, what's performing well and what's not, and what do they have in common? So we found certain topics, of course, perform a lot better than others, and what are maybe people seeing but not clicking on, and how do we pivot and do that a little differently? So our engagement has continually gone up, but it's, again, telling people are reading this, people are in there, like it's, we have to do a little roadshow internally to help educate a lot of people about how it's going.
We also found that like less is definitely more. So we have a lot of, obviously, market volatility is a huge thing right now. And we were just pumping out way too much stuff for people to consume. So we scaled it back and we got to the most important stuff and our engagement went up. So if you really hone in on what's important, give people just what they need, we're finding that also very helpful.
I was wondering, on your metrics spreadsheet, is there one thing you're tracking that maybe it doesn't seem like it would be something you would think to track, or something surprising that's really like helping you kind of make the case?
I think one thing that's unique for us is the more social functionality, so the liking and the commenting, that's new for us internally. And we're just not that kind of organization, so that those metrics have not been as high as I think we would have thought. But we really look at like the click rate to see and compare that to the view rate to see out of the people who saw it, how many actually clicked on it, and what is that metric, because that helps us to understand what is the most engaging. I think we've been pleasantly surprised how high it actually is, because you know we couldn't tell any of that before, but.
So you said 95% adoption. Is that to your entire base, or is that just to like target audiences? Because I know you said you're still piloting and
we're rolled out to everyone.
Yeah.
So that's so even the financial professionals.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have about 48,000. Okay.
We'll chat later.
I see. Yeah.
Are you sure?
We're doing it, I think, 2 weeks, 4 weeks. 2 to 4 weeks was kind of our buffer, and then we started going faster. We had five phases of our technology division, then our home office, and then regionally, we sliced the country up. But then when we realized nothing's breaking, it's all going okay, our technology people were like, okay, go ahead. So we did it a little bit faster to get people in.
Okay. I love the co-op for stuff that's helpful. But I was wondering if you might speak to specific examples of how they help you iterate your plans and exactly what ideas you found most
impactful.
Yeah.
I remember this really vividly, and I knew I wanted to do it as soon as I saw it, like the explainer video. And we have an in-house agency, like a creative people who can help make those things happen. So I'm like, we have to do the explainer video because it just brought it all to life. Is there anything that really stood out to you?
Yeah, I would say some of the automated campaigns, like we have a welcome campaign, and we also have another campaign that helps prompt people to customize their profiles and like how to use the platform. I think that's the biggest thing is teaching people how to use it, because it might seem intuitive, but that's because we're in it all the time, whereas other people, especially because the way that they work in the branches across the country, you know, they're working day to day and don't have time to spend a lot of time on it, so really doing that sort of thing. And then honestly, all the technology support, I'm so sorry, like, we've had so much back and forth about technology, like our mobile app and everything, trying to figure things out, but they've just been great about helping us walk through all of that, too.
I have another question. So for the video, if you're saying your video content on Friday is performing really well, how do you work with translation and knowing that you are active in different regions with different languages? Do you have a trick there?
We aren't really using that because we're US and Canada, so we don't really translate right now. We are talking about translating to French at some point, but we just have not done that yet.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I think we're at time. So thank you so much.